שלום, אנחנו לומדים מתוך הספר
כתבי. Good morning, we study from the writings of Rabash, volume 1, page 110, the article, The More the Afflicted Him. It's on page 125 on Passover brochure. You can get into our site, kab.tv, send us your questions. Selected questions will be heard in the course of the lesson. Writings of Rabash, volume 1, page 110 in Hebrew, The More the Afflicted Him, or in Passover brochure, page 125. This article is not translated. The more they afflicted him. It is written, but the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and the more they spread abroad, and they were fled because of the children of Israel. The meaning of the verse means, and when they afflicted him, meaning to the extent that they afflicted him, to the same measure, he will multiply and spread abroad. It seems as if this is a condition that there can be no multiplication at work without having first the foundation of affliction. And to understand the above, we need to understand our essence, meaning what is our essence? And according to how it explains in the introduction, it is only in our will to receive. And surely, the fulfillment of the will to receive, the fulfillment is not called work, because fulfillment is something you get a reward for. Meaning, work is considered actions a person is capable of making concessions, and he does them only because he has no other choice, and he does them only because he wants to receive a reward. And a reward is something that he longs for. And all that he desires is that thing. And a true longing is called that that thing touches his heart. So much so that he says, I am better off dead than alive if he won't have the ability to attain what he wants. It follows that if he has no torments and afflictions because he is missing the thing that he is longing for, it is not considered longing. And to the extent of the suffering, so is the measure of his longing. Therefore, it turns out accordingly, if a person wants to receive some fulfillment, first he needs to have a deficiency, a lack, for there is no light without a kli, and he cannot fill anything without a deficiency. An example, a person cannot eat if he's not hungry and to enjoy rest if he's not tired. Therefore, if a person doesn't suffer from afflictions from what the Egyptians within his body grieve him, if he doesn't want to listen to their voice and to take a path which they do not desire, because the root of reception in man, which is called self-love, is the discernment of Egypt. Because although there are many nations which are called in general 70 nations, which are compared against the sanctity, which are 7 sefirot, and every bechina is included from 10, this is the number of 70 nations. And every nation has its own lust, its own desire, which is special to her bechina. And the klipa of Egypt is a general klipa, where the sparks of sanctity fell to. The people of Israel, when they were in Egypt, they had to correct them. And then, first, there should be pain and torment from not being able to come out of their control. As written, and the children of Israel sighed from the work, and they cried out, and they screamed, went up to God from the work, and God heard their sighing. And we need to be precise, for it is written from the work twice.
The question is simple to begin with. I'm willing to invest in some business because I want results. I wake up early to work even though I'm tired. I go to work, which is far from my home. I work in that place even though it doesn't interest me. I listen to my manager even though I hate him. And it's all in order to receive payment, reward. Meaning, I'm doing the exertion against my desire in all directions. This is the meaning of work. I come to the group, they tell me, you can invest your powers here, even though it doesn't interest you to connect to us. You should listen to the teacher, even though it doesn't seem right to you. You must give up your sleep and many different things. And then you'll get the next world. Doesn't matter what. What's the difference? The first is egoistic, the second is also egoistic, right? Or wrong? In the meantime, I don't see the difference. All the more so, here there are more, the people are more egoistic. They're willing to give up all their free time without giving up what is necessary over there to live. So they invest all their free time in order to attain some other fulfillment. And they call it light. I don't know what that is. Meaning, all they are, they are greater egoists. They invest many years at that. So, what are they proud about? Doing the work of the Creator? I don't see it. I don't see any difference. Some perform mitzvot. They're very meticulous about everything that is written in the prayer book, in Shulchan Aruch, and they say, this is how I fill up my life. And by that, I hope to have the next world, and so forth. So what's the difference between all these things? Is there a difference, or isn't? This is the first question. Go ahead. But quickly. Each one says one sentence. Is there a difference or isn't there between going to a workplace to make profit, to performing mitzvot in order to gain something, or doing what we are doing and trying to attain the next world, to make profit? Is there a difference or isn't there? Everyone is suffering. Everyone wants rest. So, go ahead.
In our work, unlike other works, we do it for the sake of the Creator and not for our own sake. We don't work here for ourselves, which is even harder. This is to work above reason. You don't see the reward that you are about to receive, so this work is more complicated.
There's a difference in the purpose. The purpose is, the goal is to transcend the nature of the receiving to the nature of the giver. And the egoistic knowledge brings us to transform the software.
And until the light that we form changes our software, it becomes harder and harder. We less and less see the reward. We less and less have the strength to do that. Unlike working out there, where they can raise your salary twice as much, and then you're like a robot, you're running even faster.
The difference in this work is that everything, the whole work will be in order to bestow, to come out of self-love, to move on to different kind of love, love of the Creator. In the beginning, you don't feel these differences, but the reforming light starts doing the correct calculation in man.
Yeah, at first there is no difference. Well, we don't feel any difference. But then, when the light that reforms operates, then the source of power becomes a different source. But in the beginning, it's the same thing.
Outside, we're working egoistically, and we don't come out of this egoistically. Even in Torah Mitzvot, that helps sustain the nation of Israel. But when we work in the group, the surrounding light both brings me correction and enables me to come to greater recognition of evil and to correct things that we didn't even know exist.
The difference is in the intention. Here we try to work in order to bestow. And in the ordinary world, you work in order to receive.
Our work develops self-recognition to see what motivates us, what motivates the entire creation, to see the difference and to want to develop a desire to upgrade our nature.
We work with a reward where practically we have no experience with.
Rav, when and how does the reward in us exchange instead of acquiring something within our kelim, our vessels, our desires to receive, to acquire an ability to bestow? When does our reward change? How does it change? Through what? Meaning, what's the purpose of the work? When I go to work, what do I want? Either I want to receive $1,000, or I want to receive the next world, or maybe I want to receive the knowledge of the Creator, revelation, control in my destiny, over my destiny, and so forth. Or maybe I want to get an ability to bestow outside of myself. So how does this desire, the inclination, the tendency to reach bestowal, how does it come to a person?
Only by working inside a group and a constant inclination to be in bestowal, only then you come to a recognition that you can't be, you cannot reach such a state, but you do reach a prayer for the Creator to perform such an action for us.
It comes to a person out of his torments, he's suffering, and we can't obtain fulfillment in the world to receive out of the work we're doing in the manner we were used to work. Rather, out of the connection, the reforming light starts changing this paradigm in the way we work and to shift us to a new way of intention in the work, goal in the work.
And from this work, through the attempt to constantly work on love and connection, and failing in that, we come to despair, and all of a sudden we start feeling the greatness and this amazing thing that if it will be good for everyone, it will be good for me, and if it's good for me, it will be good for everyone, so I have to take care of them. So you start feeling the system, and when you feel the system, then there is a change of perception here.
Yeah, I have some thought about a balloon that's trying to contain everything in himself. It's still for himself, and it's lights, and it's in the sof, and out of despair it simply blows up, and a miracle happens. That's what we're doing. The miracle of the exodus from Egypt, the light causes this transformation.
We come to it only through our will to receive. It's like we get into a gift shop and you want to take everything for yourself, and all of a sudden it disappears. You don't understand why. And then you walk in again, take everything for yourself, and then again it disappears. So, it's all about the will to receive. Without it, you cannot move.
Love. Meaning we have a will to receive in order to receive, where we want to receive $1,000 or in the next world or revelation of spirituality. Later on we want to receive bestowal, the ability to bestow. However, bestowing is also in order to receive. It's only a means to bestow, but it's in order to receive. That too is something the will to receive brings us to. And how do we, from the will to bestow in order to receive, how do we come to the will to bestow in order to bestow. That's the next step. How do you come to that?
The latter forms develops us in such a way.
It brings us a feeling of contempt from the vessel of reception, our vessel of reception.
Yeah, like Owen said, only the latitude forms out of the efforts and the work that we do in order to connect with a more condensed intention, which is also changed by the latitude forms, only out of the work of the light and making efforts to connect, to unite, that perception begins to mold and change in our hearts.
Love. This means that probably the exile in Egypt means that I think I'm in order to bestow, but I discover it's only in order to receive. I think it's going to be good. I evaluate, I appreciate the quality of bestowal because it brings me a great reward, and I'm incapable of doing that for pure bestowal. This is the sensation of slavery. And from this feeling of slavery, the only thing that can help us is a miracle. So let's read on and find out what that is.
And we need to be precise about the verse from the work twice. We need to explain that all the signs were from the work, meaning that they couldn't work for heaven's sake. Rather, their afflictions were from the fact that the work they did, they couldn't do it for heaven's sake, because of the klipa of Egypt.
Meaning, they would connect, they would disseminate, and do everything possible. They would form together and see that this is nevertheless for their own self, for their self-benefit. There was a feeling that it's not for the Creator's sake, and this is a great thing. Meaning, they were connected to divinity, the pure quality of bestowal, and they would feel how much they are not in it.
And because of that, it is written twice from the work. One, that all the signs were for nothing, they were missing. They were missing only one thing, meaning they didn't want any luxuries and any reward. Their only lack that they felt sufferings and pains about, it was because they couldn't do anything for heaven's sake. Which means, in other words, they wanted to have a desire to bestow contentment upon the Creator and not for their own benefit, and they couldn't. And that pained them. And that is called that they wanted a little bit of grip in spirituality. Two, from the second from the work comes to teach us, and their cry went up to the Creator. And the fact that the Creator heard their sighing, it was because they only asked for work. And that comes to imply from to the second from the work. It turns out that the entire exile they felt was only because they were under the control of the klipa of Egypt, and they couldn't do anything that will be only in order to bestow.
So let's make it more precise. What are these twice having the sigh from the work? From the first from the work and the second from the work. It's written twice. You can read it. Well, you can't, but it's written twice from the work in the sentence. So, what is the difference between the two?
The first from the work is they felt they make an effort, but they couldn't reach bestowal. And the second from the work is when they feel that they need to receive something here which will invert this desire that they have. Well, at least this is how I understood it.
seemingly a matter, I'm saying it's seemingly a matter of experience, some kind of an experience. So first time it comes that the children of Israel's side is so like the first exodus, a revelation. Maybe I should work in a different way. The second time it's a more conscious work.
The first from the work is the moment you start working to is you at first you start working to receive in order to bestow, and then you see that you only work in order to receive, and then the second from the work is when they want to work in bestow in order to bestow.
Rav, what is the difference in the pleas, the requests, between the first from the work and the second work? What do you want? I ask from the Creator in the first work and in the second from the work.
In the first from the work, according to what is written here, the desires that they will have a desire to bestow.
Yes, and in the second from the work, it's that their actions will be in order to bestow.
The first from the work is when they had no reward for the will to receive. And the second from the work is when the entire work is only in order to bestow contentment upon the Creator.
Rav, this means they asked for the ability to bestow. In order to bestow, without any self-benefit. Later on, they asked only for the deficiency for it, meaning not to want anything except a deficiency for bestowal. Right? This is the meaning they asked for only the work, that the work itself is the reward. Go on. Go on reading.
It is written in the Zohar, Rabbi Yehuda said, "Come and see. This is how it is, as Rabbi Yehoshua the Sachnin said, because as long as their minister was given control over Israel, their cry of Israel was not heard. Since their minister fell, it is written, and the king of Egypt died. And immediately, and the children of Israel sighed from the work, and they cried out, and their scream went up to God. But until that time, their cries were not answered. Accordingly, we can say, if the time did not come to bring down the minister of Egypt, there is no room for choice that they will repent and that they will be able to come out from exile. For he says, in those many days, which were plenty for the staying of Israel in Egypt, meaning that the end had come, and since the end of their exile was completed, it is written, and the king of Egypt died. What is the meaning? It means that the minister of Egypt was brought down from his degree and fell out from his pride. And this is why the verse says about him, and the king of Egypt died, because the descent is considered for him as death. And since the king of Egypt, which is their minister, fell down, the Creator remembered Israel and heard their praying. And the Zohar is asking that question on the verse, in your grief, and all those things have found you, which means before all those things happened, it is impossible to reach perfection. It turns out that you slander. And he gives an excuse that all the things that they have to go through, they can go through that according to the feeling of suffering. And it is not considered, it is not measured not in time or quantity of sufferings, rather to the measure of the feeling. And we can understand it through an allegory. If a person needs to make an exertion of 1 kilo, which are 1,000 grams of sufferings, and then there is a reward for it, as the sages have said, according to the soror is the reward, which means that the exertion that a person needs to reveal before he receives the reward, it is because there is no light without a kli, for there is no fulfillment without a dlak. And the exertion what man gives, it qualifies him to receive a deficiency, so that later on he will have the ability to receive into it a fulfillment. And let's say that the 1,000 gram of deficiency, men can give them in different extents, which are discernments in quantity and quality. A person can exert himself every day for 10 minutes, meaning to regret that he is distanced from the Creator, and he can regret 10 minutes a week for being distanced from the Creator, or 10 minutes a month he remembers that he is distanced from the Creator, and then he regrets, and so on. And also, it is the same with the quality of sufferings, that he regrets when he remembers that he is distanced from the Creator. Although it hurts him, but it's not that bad. Other things hurt him more, things that he longs for. It turns out that also in quantity, men should be accountable, meaning the choice that man has, although he has to go through the entire process of suffering and exertion all the way through, he comes to the Bechina, and you have returned to thy God, and you have listened to his voice. But man has a choice to shorten the time of the process of suffering by additional time of quantity and quality, which is the feeling of sufferings from being distanced from the Creator.
Rav, how do we do that? What additions should I put in the work, in the exertion, in order to feel I am far from the Creator and to truly have pain from that? Where can I practically discover that? I exert at something and I discover I'm far from the Creator. And these afflictions, so that they hold me, not that they will throw me out of the path, that will accept them as a leverage to do work. So what exact exertion, what exact forms of exertion do I choose in order to come to the sufferings, afflictions, to the right goal? Go ahead.
We have to try in the connection between us, the connection in the group, to turn it into a state where we see an opportunity in every meeting, in every relationship between us, to the revelation of that quality, and then to see if I think about myself on them. And besides of that, I need the center of the group.
It's only in the group. The group has to set this standard, that what's important is avut, the connection. Then you have the means to do that. The moment you try and try and you see you're incapable of it, then you can start having a plea. And the group teaches you how to do that. It's not a plea for myself. It's a joint plea for out of the center of the group.
Should always notice where we exert ourselves in order to see which kind of reward we want to receive. You want to receive gold, then you won't go working in the sea where you get fish. So you need to see what is the reward that you want. A spiritual reward is in the group, in working with the friends.
Desire you can acquire only when you nullify to the friends.
In short time that I study, I keep asking myself, how did Rabash came to write articles about the society? Where did it come from? And now, when Oren finished reading this paragraph and Rav asked this question, it blew up something in me. Well, it is so obvious here why he wrote those articles for. It is so clear why it is so essential, why it is so necessary, and this is something we must have. Now it is so clear why the society is the only thing, that love of friends is the only thing that can hold a person and help him reach that goal.
What are the forms of exertion I choose in order to reach the afflictions and the right goal? So the exertion is first of all only in working on the connection and unity between us, nullifying to one another and everything we should do in the work of connection between us, and do not confuse about having a different place to work and to invest all the exertion over there. And that within this connection, the goal will always be clear, loud and clear, that out of the connection we want to impart contentment to the Creator. And out of this exertion, gradually the torments are revealed when you can't truly be in it.
Yeah, when we strengthen that every day in the lesson, when we get the importance and when we understand that this is what needs to be performed, and then we try to implement it in the relationship between us. So when we try to act for the sake of someone else, then the difficulties are revealed. I see that I keep thinking about myself, and from that we advance.
That's it. And the interesting thing about this work, that moment you seem that you're in bestowal and you love the friends, then you suddenly get a state that you see, no, you're still far from that. Then you sigh again and then prayer again. Again they sigh and again a prayer. That's how you advance together.
Rav, it is written, there's a paragraph here that starts, accordingly, there is a solution. So in the end of this paragraph it says, and since the king of Egypt fell, which is their minister, so the king of Egypt fell, this is one, and then the Creator remembered Israel, and he heard their prayer. What's the connection, this specific connection in this sequence, which is very different, very unusual? I thought that everything comes from the Creator. No, the king of Egypt fell. That's to start with, this is one. And then, two, what is written? And then, as if the Creator remembered, I have Israel, I need to take care of them. And then, he heard what they're crying there. So, why do we have such a sequence, such an order of things? Well, make it so more vital, be more joyful. What's wrong with you guys?
The fall of the king of Egypt is first of all the nullification of the will to receive in man.
Since the king of Egypt fell, it means that in our eyes he falls down, that his importance decreases in our eyes by raising the importance of the quality of bestowal.
And when the importance of the quality of bestowal is greater than the quality of reception, this remembrance is the work of the upper, when he can now really take the lower and add it, join him to him. Until there is this inversion, he can't work with him at all.
It means from here, as if the king of Egypt falls in his importance in my eyes, that depends on me. And it's not that I should expect the Creator to do it for me. Rather, the king of Egypt falls, and then in my prayer I can come to bestow upon the Creator. right? And he listens, he hears. So there is a connection. That means that he remembered Israel, and then he hears the prayer. Meaning, it is not that I'm just crying, and then it is immediately accepted. Rather, first, the king of Egypt must die. Okay, continue. But we should know that there is a great difference between quantity to quality in the way we carry out things. Because in the quantity of time, a person can make for himself an order of times to give himself some time, even in the way of coercion. Meaning, even if the body doesn't want to sit the amount of time that he had set for himself, that he needs to sit for a few minutes or hours, to sit and to regret being distanced from the Creator, if he has a strong desire and is not of weak character, he can sit and keep the order that he had decided for himself. Since this is an act, and for an action, it is within man's power to do things in a way of coercion. But in terms of quantity, this is extremely difficult, for a person is incapable to force himself to feel differently than the way he does. It therefore follows that if he comes to examine how he feels, how much pain and suffering he feels from being distanced from the Creator, sometimes he reaches a state where he doesn't care. And then he doesn't know what to do, because he cannot change the way he feels. And then he is perplexed. From that is the length of exile, for it is hard for us to give the required amount, and even more so, the quality. And when he begins to examine the quality of his lack, and he sees that it doesn't hurt him, rather he is unconscious. For he doesn't feel that if we are distanced from the Creator, that is considered that one has no life. But it doesn't hurt him from not having any life. Then there is no other counsel but to pray to the Creator that will give him a little bit of life, so that he will feel that he is dangerously ill and that he needs a cure for his soul. And sometimes a person reaches a state where he is in such a great descent that he cannot even pray for it also. But rather he is in a state where he cares about nothing. And that means that he reaches a state of inanimate, meaning that he has no motion. And in such a state, only the society can help him. Meaning, if he enters among friends and he doesn't criticize them at all, meaning to examine them if they too have the same disturbances and thoughts, and they do overcome them, or just meaning because they have no interest in examining themselves, therefore they can engage in Torah and mitzvot. And how can I resemble them? And then he cannot receive any assistance from the society, for he is not adhered to them at all, because they are too little from being his friends, and anyway he doesn't receive any influence from them. However, if he enters the friends not being proudful that he is smart and they're a fool, rather he throws away his pride, for there is a rule, Betar Anya Azla Anyuta. Poverty follows the poor. And therefore, it is not enough that he is in a state of descent and he has no feeling of the lack of spirituality, then he also gets thoughts of pride, meaning that he is smarter than all the society. And now, let us return to the first question about what the Zohar says And since the end of their exile was completed, it is written, and the king of Egypt died. For the descent is considered death for him. And since the king of Egypt fell, which is their minister, the Creator remembered Israel and heard their prayers. It turns out that it can be said that no prayer will be said before the time has come. If so, there is nothing we can do, because the prayer won't hear their prayers. Now we can understand the things as they are. This is the same thing the sages said about the verse, I am the Creator, due time or hastening. If they were rewarded, then hastening. If they're not rewarded, in its time. Meaning, when the time comes, then an awakening from the Creator will come, by which Israel will repent. It turns out that the choice is on time, as written in the introduction to the book of Zohar. It turns out from all the above that one shouldn't look at the time of redemption before it is written that their prayer wasn't accepted. That means the time of quantity and the quality of sufferings. For there is a certain time, and in that time the sufferings and afflictions will be completed, but we can hasten time. And that means that the entire quantity and quality by which the sufferings and afflictions will be revealed can be shortened, in a way that all the sufferings come in a short time, but all the sufferings are revealed there.
I would maybe describe it in such a way. We have the thickness of the will to receive. This is the desire. Shosh, root. Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Daled. And our entire work is how to purify the will to receive. It's not a matter of time, rather a matter of purification, refining the will to receive. If I purify the will to receive, I purify it in Aviyut de Shorish, in Aviyut Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Daled. It's meaning it's not a matter of time, it's a matter of purification. And we are always in the upper light, and this is all we should do. Questions?
He writes that since the end of the exile was completed, and then the king of Egypt died, and then they have sighed from the work.
Mm-hmm.
And the logic says that first they have sighed, it should have been they have sighed from the work, cry out, and then the king of Egypt should die, because he gives them all he gives them a hard time and doesn't allow them reach bestowal. So first we should reach despair, prayer, and then the king of Egypt sighed. So why did they sigh before the king of Egypt? Why did the king of Egypt die before they sighed?
I don't understand your question. Maybe someone else can say the same. Yes?
He writes here, and the king of Egypt died, and immediately the children of Israel sighed. And the strange thing here is, how can it be that first the king of Egypt died and only then do they sigh? It's not clear.
Yes, so that was my question, right? That's what I asked. Since the king of Egypt fell, he is their minister, the Creator remembered Israel and heard their prayer. So, first of all, the king of Egypt should fall.
But the sighing, the despair, comes... Well, the cry comes after he dies.
Meaning, you're asking, is that a result of our work, that he falls and dies, or first he dies and then we can do something? Right? Right. Okay. So you can look at it this way and that way in the meantime. More, I can't answer this question because it's beyond this time. It's as if in Yitzchak you will have a seed and you see these two things. Is it in the hands of man or the Creator? You're asking of something that we cannot grasp in our mind. There is no contradiction here. Yes, John. No, not John, sorry. You, yeah.
I tried to phrase the question here. I wanted to perform a scrutiny about the deficiency. The deficiency is to fill up something inside the kli of a person.
Yes, yes, when I'm missing something.
So understand a corporal deficiency, money, honor.
Yes.
A spiritual deficiency to receive in order to bestow.
To receive in order to bestow.
Yeah, oh. To receive in order to bestow. To bring him contentment, actually.
Okay, yes.
But to bestow in order to bestow, I fill up nothing. What is this deficiency, the lack to bestow in order to bestow?
Not to be part of it. Not to be part of your own self-interest.
And then what does he feel?
He fills up this deficiency, not to be part of in his own self-interest of the things he's doing.
I will think about it.
I understand that you're lacking. Where's the kli here? Where's the reception or bestowal or what? As if there's nothing here. That's true, but that's the degree of bina. Without this light, that's why it's called the light of chasadim, spreads out in width. Without this stage in the work, we can't reach bestowal. Our will to receive is the one demanding from us to be above it. And being above it means bina. It's called bestowal, bestowing in order to bestow, not to receive for oneself. But that's a deficiency. It's a lack. It's a lack. More? Well, John, yes, now it's your turn.
They write in the, he writes in the article that a person reaches a state where his only counsel is to ask of the Lord to help him, but he doesn't.
הוא מגיע ל, הוא כותב במאמר שהאדם מגיע למצב שהדבר היחיד שנשאר לו זה לפנות לבורא שיעזור לו.
And he doesn't have the strength to do that.
אבל אין לו כוחות לעשות את זה.
So his only counsel is for the society to come help him.
אז ההצעה היחידה זה בעצם שהחברה תבוא ותעזור לו.
But he has this like criticism towards the environment that he's smarter than them and they don't really.
מה זה נקרא שהחברה תבוא ותעזור לו?
What does it mean that the society will come and help him? That means that I work with the group and I come to be despaired from different states. When I don't ask for myself, when there is no point for me to ask, I don't have any force to ask, and in general, I connect to the group, and for them, I ask. For my brothers and my friends. And for that, I do have strength. For that I come to a state just as we see in nature, like a mother who's asking only when she asks, it's an egoistic plea, but for us it's a relatively, well, in short, there's a leap, there's a springboard here that we can work with. But wherever a person sees he has no foundation deficiency for himself, to ask for himself, he can start asking for others. Yes.
The practical advice that he gives here is to get among the friends, and he writes not to criticize the friends and to throw away his pride. The question is, can you give us advice what to do about the criticism and pride when they pop up? What does it mean?
If a person continues being among the friends, then it gradually comes, because he's despaired that he doesn't get anything. His ego sees that his behavior ultimately brings him no success. His disrespect and his self-pride is not appreciated among the friends, and he sees how much they advance in their work, in their questions, for instance, the answers they give, what they're doing, what they're talking about. And he sees that he simply has no choice rather to subjugate himself to them. Gradually comes to that. It's the will to receive working. Only continue. Just continue. Whatever the mind doesn't do, time will. Meaning, another action and another action until he's despaired and he sees that he stands no chance to come in such a way, being above them. Only if he integrates and is devoured in them, truly walking this way, to dissolve in them. By that he will feel himself, but truth is, he doesn't feel himself. But specifically because he doesn't feel himself, there he feels he can be born in some new essence, different. Yes.
The advice that you give is to keep on going. This is what I hear from you.
Yes. That's always right. Everything except leave. Don't, even if nothing works out. I threw my whole life over that. But what else can you throw your life? Even if egoistically asking, show me a place where you can live in a better off. Tell me, what? Of course I should organize my life more or less. That it's not that my family shouldn't suffer so much and everything, but generally speaking, a person should constantly and always, it's written also, go to a cemetery, sit on a grave, and look what happens to everyone. Yeah, it's an advice given. What's left? That's it. So the main thing is to continue. And when you continue, you go on, and you're in a group, and you go together with them into this concept called a group, there is an illumination over you. And every day it brings its share. And the main thing, I say again, we should reach a state, an examination. Are we happy at that? We are confused, hopeless, we don't have life, we don't understand, I don't understand anything, I'm completely clogged. I wake up in the morning, I'm like a corpse, like a beast, I don't know where I am and what. I'm looking half eye open. Enjoy these states. That's the new degree. That's how the new degree is always revealed. And to get used to it, first of all, talk to yourself about it. That this is a good state. That's the beginning. Yes? So you have a lot of new beginnings, I see, according to your states. Everyone is laughing at you. You see? What friends.
I'm happy to make the group happy. When you say to enjoy the situation, you cannot give me an order and tell me enjoy the situation.
When you understand that this is a new beginning and this is why you're confused and you can't hold on to yourself and you don't understand what's going on, that's because you entered a new place. That's why you don't understand, you don't feel, and you're disoriented. Specifically because of that. So even though I am little now, I don't understand, I don't feel just a little bit, that's a new degree of mine. You should not forget that. Otherwise a person reaches a state of being despaired and... Yes. Quickly.
The way I understand it, the quantity and quality of suffering depends on man's choice.
In the intensivity of his work in the group.
Now he writes here, but we can hasten time, which means that the entire quantity and quality in which the sufferings will appear can be shortened in a way that all the sufferings come in a short time, but all the sufferings were revealed there.
Mm-hmm. Because you can't give up the deficiency. The deficiency can be more, can have more quality. I can just suffer and I don't know why I'm suffering. But if I do know why I'm suffering, what for, I can take a few times more. I can suffer a few times more because I understand why. You bring a small child to a physician and he says, I have to open up this wound, otherwise it will be... infected. And the kid cries out, he's screaming. And they brought me to a doctor, and the doctor shows me the syringe, and it's so big, and I'm lying there, and then I'm no enthusiastic, no medication. And I'm lying there, and he's doing it. So how can I take it? That's because I understand. I recognize that that's what I have to take. That's why our work in the society, with recognition, if you understand and if you're aware that this is what you have to do, then it helps you transform our sufferings from quantity to quality. And then we hasten time. Yes, quickly.
Вернуться к тому вопросу. А вот если состояние такое, ну, запутанности, вот потерянности, оно затягивается.
What we do in a situation of confusion and when we lose our path continuously.
It continues only because a person is not connected sufficiently with a group, with society. We have nothing but the teaching, the teacher, the books, and dissemination. These are the means by which we can move on through the states very quickly.
I keep participating in everything, as you say, but still the situation doesn't change.
There are such things, but these are special periods of time, times that occur in a person. If a person is in a state that change inside, but he doesn't yet feel it, that it's changing, it happens. Nevertheless, patience, there's nothing else to do. Patience. Moving on to the next part.
Moving on to the next part of the lesson.